Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 483, Baptism, a Heavenly Release. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, August 2nd, 2026, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
God is good. God is this good, and He's going to help me deliver this message and hold it together. I'll do my best. It's a special day. If somebody had told me, I don't know, 3-4 years back that today I would have the privilege of baptizing not only my son, but my brother, I probably wouldn't have believed them unless it was the voice of God and go, oh, really, God? You know, okay, all right. But the day has come. Praise the Lord. The day has come. And so it's really special. So I got my tissues up here and I'm ready. Praise the Lord. And let's just talk a little bit about baptism. Does that sound good? Yes. All right. We're going to be relaxed. We're going to chat about baptism today. The title of this is Baptism, a Heavenly Release. And it is just that. When a person gets baptized, there is a release of things from heaven. And we'll look at that in the baptism of Jesus, as Sister Tanya kind of mentioned about, Jesus, a sinless man, getting baptized and how amazing that was. And we're going to look at the things that the scripture says that happened when he was baptized and the things that were released. And God is doing it because He's releasing from all sides. We've got the rain today too. So the ones that are being baptized, you're going to be surrounded from all sides by God and His presence and open heaven. Lots of blessing. Praise God. We were driving to church and it was raining and I thought, this is a great day. I think I said it. This is a great day to baptize people. 70 degrees, rainy, overcast. But you know what? Any day is a good day to baptize people. And somebody this morning mentioned about, remember we did it in November and the person was wearing like sweatshirt and it was cold. And I guess we did it in the pool. I don't quite remember that. But praise God. Any day is a good day to get baptized, right? Because it is a release from heaven. And so let's just talk a little bit about what baptism is. It is a sign. First, it's a public show. A display. That's a better word. A public demonstration or display of a person's faith in Jesus. We know that the act of just dunking somebody in the water isn't what saves the person. Faith is, salvation comes through faith, right? Faith in Jesus. By grace, through faith, you have been saved, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So it's nothing that any one of us can do. We receive our salvation. It's a free gift, amen, right? And we receive that by us saying, yes, I believe that God sent Jesus, his son, to die on the cross, to die for me, that he has forgiven me of my sins, and I am washed clean. And so baptism is a public display of that, saying, yes, I have chosen Jesus. I choose to follow Jesus, and I want to show the body of Christ, right? We're a family. We're a family of believers today, and we want to show, the people that are being baptized have chosen, they have initiated, they have made this decision that, yes, I want to say to this family here, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. And of course, you know how we define a disciple of Jesus is somebody who follows Jesus, somebody who is being transformed by Jesus, and somebody who is on mission with Jesus. So when somebody wants to be baptized, they say it's them identifying with Jesus. It's them identifying and choosing Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, but also identifying with his death and his burial, right? And where is it here in my notes? Paul compares Christian baptism to a burial. And so let's look at that scripture, because we know that Jesus, he died on the cross, he was buried in the tomb, and he rose again to new life. And so the ones who are being baptized, or you can remember back to your baptism, you are identifying with death is no more. You are identifying with Jesus's death, his death on the cross. And so let's look at the scripture. Romans 6, 1 through 4. It says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? I'm just going to repeat Romans 6, 1 through 4. So we're at verse 3, Romans 6. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. So this action of, you know, the full immersion, we believe in the full immersion into water, right, is the person, we lower the person down into the water that symbolizes the death, right? And we say dead to sin. So all this, the sin of your life, all of the your past, your mistakes, your failures, any bondages, any oppression from the evil one, he's defeated. That you are dying to that. You are dying to all of that. You, that falls off you and you come up out of the water and to a new life in Christ, to the resurrection power of Jesus that lives on the inside of you, that came to live on the inside of you when you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And so it's that public, it's a tangible illustration. It's doing a prophetic act when you are brought down under the water, all that old, you know, I have died with Christ, like it said in the verse. We are joined, for we died, we were buried with Christ by baptism, right? And then it says, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives. So you come up out of the water falls off you, and hallelujah, welcome to your new life, right? Praise God. That gets me excited because we know that 2 Corinthians 5:17, don't you love this verse? It says, this means, I'll say it again, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become what? A new person, right? Some versions say new creature. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Hallelujah. That's exciting. A new life has begun. What else can we say about baptism? Baptism is a biblical command to repent and be baptized. You see that in the book of Acts, right? When the church, you know, after Jesus was crucified, he rose again, right? And then he ascended into heaven and was seated at the right hand of the Father with the Holy Spirit. Then the church began to be birthed, right, in the book of Acts. And that's the story of that all throughout the book of Acts. In Acts 2, when they all, you know, the day of Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit came on the people that were waiting in the upper room, because Jesus had said to them, to the apostles, the disciples, wait there and I will fill you with my Spirit, with my presence. And sure enough, that happened, right? And tongues of fire came and rested on them. And then Peter got, you know, Peter, who we saw, you know, deny Jesus, Peter, who had a few blunders, Peter, who was kind of spontaneous and, not spontaneous. I can't think of the word, but you know, impulsive. Peter, yes, thank you. That was it. Impulsive, compulsive, whatever. But we love Peter, right? And the Holy Spirit. I mean, Peter is just proof of what God can do when the Holy Spirit comes on your life, because we could all identify with Peter, or maybe not, maybe in different sort of not facets, you know, maybe different personality quirks or things that aren't so, you know, wonderful, or things that we've done not quite right or whatever. But when the Holy Spirit came on Peter, look out, right? Boldness came on him, and God used him mightily. And we can all be used in that same way. So we can go from one thing to a totally new thing, like that new creature in Christ, right? Old things are gone, new things have come, and you can see that in the life of Peter. And so Peter, you know, the Holy Spirit comes on him, is full there in that place. And in Acts 2, verse 38, Peter says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So that just shows us this was a command. This was something that, as you know, people wanting to know Jesus and follow Jesus, that they should repent of their sins. Repent means, and repentance is a gift. It literally means, from the root of the word, to turn and change direction. You're going one direction, you stop, turn, change direction, go a different direction. That is repentance. And God gives us that gift, that we are able to do that and say, I don't want to do life on my own anymore. I don't want to do life in my own flesh, making my own decisions, letting my mind or, you know, logic or my emotions or whatever control my train. But I'm going to turn direction. I'm going to repent of all that old stuff, and I'm going to walk differently now. And what a gift that is. And we have the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us walk a godly life, to help us. He's our biggest cheerleader, our advocate that points us always back to Jesus, points us to the Word. He's the Spirit of truth, and He lives inside of every born-again believer to help us and to strengthen us for the task of following Jesus, right? Because some days it's glorious and woohoo, you're on the mountaintops, and other days it could be a little harder, right? And the Holy Spirit is there through thick and thin. And praise the Lord for that. All right. We talked about it's baptism. Water baptism isn't what saves you. Let's look at a verse that talks about that, that goes along with those lines. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3. So 1 Peter chapter 3, 20 and 21. It says, "Those who disobeyed God long ago, when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat, only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. And that water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. It is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ." All right, so Peter here is teaching that it's not just the literal act of baptism, or it's not just, you know, the waters of baptism, like he calls it, the removal of dirt from the body that saves us. But we are saved by what Jesus did. It's not any of our own merit. It is what Jesus did. It's his death. It's his resurrection. And so water baptism is not what saves us, but it is powerful. I will say that. It is powerful because when you are obeying the command to repent and be baptized, and you, with a genuine heart, have given your life to Jesus, and you do what he said, you're identifying with his death and burial and resurrection when you go down under the water and you come up to new life, that is powerful. And the presence of God is there, is always there to release his open heaven over you. And so praise God for that. Praise God for faith and the opportunities that we have, the opportunity that we have to draw close to God and to receive this gift, not only of salvation, but of baptism. It's awesome. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at, we're going to go to the book of Mark, and we're going to look at when Jesus was baptized. So if you have your Bibles, if you didn't look up any other scripture, this is a good one to look up and pay attention when it comes up on the screen here. Mark 1, so this is when Jesus was baptized, and we're going to look at these things, these points of release, right? What is released from heaven when Jesus was baptized? And just to point out again, it is remarkable, and Tanya said this as well, that Jesus was a man without sin. He had no sin, but yet he identified with us in that of being baptized. He led the way, didn't he? He's our model to show us, well, we have sin. We need to be baptized. We need to be, we need to do this public demonstration to show that our faith is in him, in him alone. And so Mark 1, verses 9 through 11, it says, one day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. That is awesome. All right, so John the Baptist, can you imagine that scene? John the Baptist dunking Jesus, his cousin, right? A close friend. He dunked him in the water. He baptized, and God was there. I think Jesus was also baptized so that we could see what happens, the power of God, that what the benefits are, right, of when a person is baptized. So, and at Jesus's baptism, as we see through this verse and the things that happen, there was an infusion that came from heaven. So he wants to release these things in our lives. And if you are one of the few that, one of the four, and maybe there could be a spontaneous, if the Holy Spirit nudges you to be baptized today, hey, we've got towels. And so you can jump to the pool, like my sister says. jump to the pool. That's really how she says it. Anyways, let's look at these things that the Lord wants to release in our lives. What was released at Jesus's baptism? So the first thing that happened, verse 10 of Mark 1, it says, as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart. So the heavens were parted. That's quite incredible. I don't think that had happened before. I don't think people had seen that before, right? What does that mean? The heavens were parted. That means spiritual breakthrough. In other words, what wasn't seen before, that was not visible, that was part of the spiritual realm above what we can see, it broke through. It opened, right? I think of, and many have heard this story, I think of an incident that happened in our home. And the circumstances surrounding this were quite interesting, that we had made a significant decision. We had decided that, okay, we got the call to adopt a child, and we're going to go through with adoption. We're going to do this thing, and okay. And so we had an appointment on the calendar for, the organization to come and begin the home study and do, inspection sort of our home and make sure everything is good and safe and, okay, show us where the room, where the child's going to, where's the child's room going to be and all this and that. And how was it a week before? 2 weeks before. So we had this date on the calendar where they were going to come and they have to take pictures and things like that. And what happened? Oh my goodness. The heavens parted in our home right in this child's bedroom. The ceiling busted through. I'm not making this up. I have pictures. I should have brought them. Yeah, you laugh, but we weren't laughing. Like, we heard a sound in the middle of the night. You laugh, but we weren't laughing because I went in the room. Well, it happened in the middle of the night. It was like, when you hear a sound in your sleep and it's like, it works into your dream or it's kind of like far away and you just, whatever, didn't get up. The next day I'm going in this room and I walk in the room and it was like, I looked up and I was like, like cartoon eyes, like, what am I looking at? Like, drywall, debris, all this junk on the bed, like all over the place. It was a mess. The heavens parted. The heavens parted. Praise the Lord. Well, not praise the Lord, but we were okay. What is this? I called my husband. Sent him pictures like, something happened. And so you imagine the phone call to the, the organization that was supposed to come. Yeah, we had a little incident in the room that's going to be the child's room. Well, who knows that spiritual warfare is real? Spiritual warfare is real. We had just made this decision. We're moving forward and the heavens parted. And what wasn't seen, we couldn't see that obviously there was a problem up there, behind there in the ceiling, that maybe there was a leak happening and probably that took years and drip, drip, drip. And then one day, it got too heavy and boom, what was invisible became visible. And it's the same way with the heavens parted. What, we don't see what heaven looks like every day. But on that day when Jesus was baptized, the spiritual, how does it word it? It says the heavens were opened, right? Verse 10, the heavens split apart. So, spiritual breakthrough for perception into the invisible realm. It became visible. And you know what? I chose to look at it in a different way of, this dream of us becoming parents, to become parents. It was all of a sudden, instead of focusing on the spiritual warfare of it, it was like all of a sudden the promise of it. Here comes the promise of heaven. the ceiling literally split. And now, sometime later, a year later, here comes our child. And he's right there. And he has a name. And he's loved by God. And so we chose to look at it that way of like the heaven split. The promises of God are yes and amen. You two are going to be parents. And boom, here comes our child. And then, however much time later, he is sleeping in that bed. And of course, we fixed the ceiling. We've had to fix the ceiling and all of that and the drywall, and it's all good. And I don't know, we told him that story later. He's looking at the wall. That happened? Oh, yeah. No fear, Kaysen. It's totally repaired. It's good. He gave me a thumbs up. Praise the Lord. And he's being baptized today. How cool is that? Praise God. God is awesome. God is faithful. We'll try not to embarrass him too much. Okay, so that was one of the things that happened, right? The heavens were parted. That spiritual breakthrough from what was invisible became invisible. The next thing, what was the next thing that happened, right? It says, Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens split apart, and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. So the Holy Spirit came on him. and those that are being baptized today, the Holy Spirit. I mean, he came to live inside of you when you received Jesus as your Lord. But the Holy Spirit will be present with you, will empower you in a new way. It's the availability of his unlimited flow, his unlimited overflow of the Holy Spirit. It's for you. And so there's an open heaven. There's an open heaven over your life, over the pool where you're baptized and where we dunk you, and the heavens split, and the Holy Spirit comes to empower you. For what? For your life of walking with Jesus, right? To follow, stay on the path of following Jesus and to be transformed by Jesus, because there are days in the process of the being transformed, because that never ends, that you need help and you need strength from the Holy Spirit and you need to hear his voice and you need to know that he's near you and you need to experience his power and his presence in your life, right? And for carrying out the mission. There's a calling on each of your lives. And so you need the Holy Spirit to help you, to empower you, to push you from behind sometimes. Who needs a good kick in the pants? Yeah, okay, I'm like you. I do too. Get out of the plane. You're going to bungee jump now. You know, whatever. You're going to jump now. Like, I'm one of those that I'm like, don't worry, the Holy Spirit's got your parachute. He is the parachute. Praise the Lord. All right, so the Holy Spirit came on Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes on you to empower you for your purpose, your calling, your mission. And the other thing that happened here, it says, verse 11, Mark 1, verse 11, it says, "And a voice from heaven said, 'You are my dearly beloved son, and you bring me great joy.'" So the Father made his voice known. His actual physical voice, I believe it was. It says a voice from heaven said, right? The Father was expressing his acceptance and his approval and his affirmation, his delight, his pleasure in Jesus, his son. And don't we all need that? We need to know and hear the voice of our Father, that divine approval that only can fill your heart when it comes from the heart of the Father, right? Because other people can say things to you, okay, yeah, it makes you good, feel good for a moment. Oh, good job, you know, whatever. But when your heavenly Father says, and you hear his voice, may not be a physical, tangible voice, but when you hear his voice in your heart of hearts, and you know in your knower that that's your Father, there's just something amazing that happens. That is stamped and sealed on your heart. I am dearly loved. I am dearly accepted. There's nothing I could do to get out of the love of Jesus. And that is amazing. And that happened to Jesus, the Father stamping his approval on Jesus, saying, "I love you. This is my dearly beloved son." Can you imagine being one of the spectators, one of the bystanders there? And what if you were what if there were some that were there that were kind of skeptics or cynical, and they're, you know, even the Pharisees and the people that were off in the distance watching this, I don't know what they thought, but you know, some that are hearing, maybe they didn't know who the voice belonged to, but somebody from the heavens, when they split open, is saying, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased, and you bring me great joy." Wow. I mean, if the skeptic, I imagine the skeptic is like, "What is this?" You know? But in Jesus' heart, "I got what I need. I got it. I got it from the Father." And as you guys that are being baptized today, as the The heavens are parted. The open heaven is over you. God's blessings poured out on your lives. And as the Holy Spirit is with you and lives inside of you and giving you that availability of unlimited overflow, and you are you hear the voice of your Father, that divine approval saying, I love you, my daughter. I love you, my son. I love you, my son. I love you, my son. Receive that. Expect that, you four that are being baptized. Expect those things. Expect divine heavenly blessings. Expect to feel, so focused on the feeling, but expect in whatever way God wants you to experience his love and his grace and his stamp saying, I love you. I sent my son Jesus to die for you. And I want to show you my joy, and I want to put joy in your life. Maybe where it has been stolen. Maybe where the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy for a long time. That day is gone. That day is gone. And as I was praying in these days for the baptism, I felt like this is turning point for several of you being baptized. This is the turning point day. Hallelujah. That's really exciting. This is turning point day because you have made that decision and you're going to get into the water and you're going to experience however God wants to do it for you. All you've got to do is open your heart and receive. He loves you so much. He loves you so much, and he's excited, and we're all excited, and it's a celebration. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Awesome. Let's just read this last verse, and then I will close, and then we'll get on to the baptism things. Let's close with this. We're studying 1 Peter. Some of the cell groups have started 1 Peter. So 1 Peter 1, when I read this and was studying this, I thought, this relates to baptism. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, it says it this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. I love that. Let's read that again. According to his great mercy. Because we were dead in our sins and we didn't deserve any of it. But because of his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Praise God. Without Jesus, before Jesus, we were destined to death. We were destined to suffer the consequences of our sin, which was death, right? Being separated from Christ. Dark, despairing, torturous without God, without Christ, right? That's what we were headed for. But because of God's great mercy, he sent Jesus to die for each one, to die for us, to give us a new birth into a living hope, not a dead religion. Not a whatever, dead place, dark, dungy place, but a living hope. We have new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he rose again, he didn't stay in the tomb. He's not dead. He's alive. Are you like, is this resurrection day? Is this Easter? No, it's not. But you know what? He's alive. We can celebrate that every day. That's a secret. We can celebrate that today. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have been given an inheritance that can never perish, that can never spoil, that can never fade. That's our salvation sealed for us the day we leave this earth in heaven. And guess what? This is good news. We don't have to just wait for salvation then, the day we get to the pearly gates, you know, and it's all gold. They were talking about gold and glitter in our team meeting this morning. The streets are full of gold and glitter and bling and all this, but we don't just have to wait for then. And the one in the back says amen. You know, but we can experience that salvation power of Jesus here and now. His joy, his strength, his wisdom, his everything, his blessing here, his wellness, his healing in our body, being well, divine health. Praise God. We can celebrate, and we do celebrate that living hope today. And so we're just going to party out there at the pool. I'm sure God has orchestrated that the rain has stopped. Can somebody check at the door? The rain has stopped, right? Okay. Praise God. And it's going to be stopped. And we're going to celebrate that living hope and that imperishable, can never spoil or fade inheritance, that salvation that we have, not only to come in heaven, but here on earth. Praise God. Jesus is so good. And I'm excited now. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's pray to close, and then we'll chat with the ones that are going to be baptized. So, Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your great mercy that you sent Jesus to die for us so that we could be born into this living hope, God. Death and the wages of sin and what we deserved and our punishment is taken care of because you took it all on the cross. Sickness is taken care of because that was the fruit of death, and we're healed by your stripes. And so I thank you for that new birth into the living hope. I thank you for all that was released on Jesus when he was baptized. I thank you for the splitting of the heavens, a spiritual breakthrough. I thank you, God, for just an open heaven of blessings being poured down. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that came on Jesus and will come on the ones that are being baptized in a special way today. I thank you for that unlimited overflow and pouring out of the Holy Spirit on them, Father God, to equip them and empower them for walking with Jesus and being transformed by Jesus and on being on mission and walking out in their calling with Jesus. And I thank you, God, for your voice. God, I thank you for your voice of the Father that is tender and that is loving, and that you said that over Jesus, and you say that over Felicia and over Adam and over Kaysen and over John. You say, you are my daughter, or you are my son, the one in whom I am well pleased. You seal them with your approval, with your affirmation. You love them so much. And I pray that as they are baptized today, they will experience your amazing love and your freedom and your grace and your joy. And we celebrate that. We love you, God. And I just lift up everyone that's watching on social media right now. I ask your blessings, Father God. I pray strength over bodies in the name of Jesus. I rebuke any pain. I command it to go from bodies in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for clearness of thought, clearness in heads. I see headaches. So I pray blessing over heads in Jesus' name. I command pain, whatever the source of it may be, strength, or burden, perhaps witchcraft. I break that off of people in the name of Jesus. I pray all headaches go in Jesus' name, and pain of any kind in bodies, it must go, whether here in the sanctuary or somebody under the sound of my voice or watching the replay later. I thank you, God, for total healing, total wellness. I thank you, God, that you are good. You are good, and your love endures forever. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.